Welcome to The Dirt Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts, celebrating 100 years in business. And today we'll be joined by late model Hall of Fame driver Dick Schiltz. We'll also hear from Cole Queensland from Deer Creek Speedway, Kevin Long from Kossuth County Speedway, and Marty Pringle from the Iowa Hall of Fame and Museum, right after a few words from our sponsors.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse.
Cookies is the one.
Don't miss the action at Deer Creek Speedway Saturday, May 24th. The stars and cars of the USMTS return for the annual USMTS Southern Minnesota Spring Challenge, featuring the ground-pounding USMTS Modified Touring Series, plus the USRA B-Mods and the USRA Hobby Stock Divisions. The Deer Creek Speedway annual USMTS Southern Minnesota Challenge, Saturday, May 24th. Don't miss a minute of the action. See DeerCreekSpeedway.com for more details.
When it comes to choosing your next industrial, commercial, residential, and ag electrician, choose Coles Electric. Hi, this is Steve Cole. Coles Electric offers pole setting, directional boring, underground trenching, boom truck service. We also update your lighting to new energy-efficient LEDs for years of reliability and service. Planning, design, or 24-hour service, see ColesElectric.com or call 507-451-1387.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your family-owned Husqvarna dealer, is the only preferred partner Husqvarna dealer in Minnesota and one of only 40 in the nation. Stop by Miners in Blooming Prairie to check out the dependable Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. From trimmers and chainsaws to zero turns and tractor mowers, we've got what your yard needs. With over 20 years of product knowledge, we also service what we sell. That makes Miners Outdoor your number one choice for lawn and garden.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
Napa know-how!
Spring into action and save on select Meguiar's wash and wax products at Napa Auto Parts. Meguiar's products give your car a showroom shine inside and out. If an oil change is in your spring maintenance lineup, save on Mobil 1 Advanced Full Synthetic Motor Oil on sale now for only $34.99 for a 5-quart jug. Give your car the spring refresh it needs with a little help from Napa. Visit your local Napa Auto Parts store or shop NapaOnline.com today. Offer valid at participating stores through April 30th or while supplies last. See store for details.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a power lift architectural door on your home or cabin. Power lift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. Power lift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Kelly or Rod. Power lift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
This is Justin Melke from Melke Oil Company, this region's premier BP race fuel dealer, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to join Hall of Fame late model driver Dick Schiltz, number 97. And Dick, my first experience meeting you was way back when I was walking around the pits in Owatonna with my autograph book in the early 70s. You grew up here in Minnesota and studied auto mechanics at Mankato Votech.
Yep, that is correct. Well, I grew up in Gibbon, Minnesota. I don't know, I grew up in a farm. Really didn't have much experience with any circle track racing or anything at the time. I kind of got interested in drag racing back then, and I had a 56 Ford and had a 427 in it with 2 4 barrels and you know, it was just kind of street raced and stuff like that, and probably got in a little more trouble than I should have. But that's kind of my experience. And later on, I moved to New Ulm, and I got around some guys that raced at the Modifieds at St. Peter. So that was kind of a cool deal there, and I went there a few times and got interested in the circle track racing a little bit, and they raced them at the Brown County Fair. So I thought that stuff was pretty cool. But it was still more drag racing, so a friend of mine and I, we used to go down to Minneapolis on a Saturday night and go to Lake Street and just watch the cars down at Lake Street, which was back then was just a kind of a cruising thing. And as we were going down there one night, we saw a bunch of lights in the distance and said, man, that must be a fair or something. Well, it turned out it was Raceway Park in Shakopee. So anyway, we went there, and then we started going there for, and we went there for about a year and a half. And then I worked at a machine shop in New Ulm, and one of the guys, one of the customers come in, and he just says, hey, are you going to the Grand National tonight? And I said, what is that? And he said, that's the dirt race over in Redwood Falls. And I said, they raced on dirt over there? And he said, yes. So I said, okay. So it was the last race of the year, so I went over there, and I thought, man, that is pretty cool. So anyway, I just decided to get a rule book at the end of the night. And in the back of the machine shop, the guy that owned the machine shop let me build a car back there. So I built my first car, was a 64 Fairlane, and I had taken the motor out of my 56 Ford, the 427, and put in the car. And needless to say, the sixth race that I was in, I wanted to make the late model feature with it. So I was kind of hooked from there on. So that's just how it all turned out.
And growing up in Gibbon, you probably spent a few nights at the Gibbon Ballroom.
Oh, yes. We used to drive through the ballroom left and right and then go to the ballroom and all that. That was a big deal back then, you know?
Not only did you get your start racing here in Minnesota from 71 to 74, but you also ended up helping down in the pits at Raceway Park.
Yeah, I did get to, I ended up meeting Mike Miller, and it was number car 18, I believe. And he was sponsored by the New Prague Ford dealership, C. Lynn Ford, New Prague. And I asked Mike, I said, do you think you'd get me hooked up in a deal to buy some parts for these cars? And he said, yeah, that would be fine. So anyway, he helped me get a little better part deal there. And I was buying parts from C. Lynn Ford, and that just kind of worked on. Got to be a friend of Mike Miller. And later on, he asked me if I had any extra parts. And I said, like what? And he said, I need some cylinder heads. He said, I've got a guy coming up here to race, and I don't have enough parts. And I said, what do you need? And he says, I need some tunnel port Ford heads for Red Farmer's going to come up and race. And he said, well, you want a pit for him? And I said, okay, I'll do that. So I loaned him the top half of my motor, and I pitted for Red Farmer back in 1972, I believe. And it was just kind of a cool experience after that.
How did you get hooked up with Ed Sanger and end up in Iowa?
Somebody had sent me a letter, and they wanted me to come to Farley to go race at Farley. And I can't remember who it was or where the letter came from. So anyway, I went down to Farley, and I ended up meeting Ed, and I talked to him a little bit. And we were talking back and forth, and then right after that, he goes and wins the World 100. And he had built several cars before. Like I think it was like three or four cars he built. And he said he had a bunch of orders for cars, but he didn't know how to get them done. So anyway, I says, well, I could come down there and do it. So I went down there and met with him, and one thing led to another. And that winter, we built 30-some cars. It was Dan Nestaby and I and a few part-time helps along with Ed. We had built 30 cars that winter. So it was crazy. It was a lot of hours, but it was a pretty good time. And I learned some stuff, and I brought a lot of stuff to the table, being working at a machine shop. So it worked pretty good for quite a while until him and I bumped, I saw him at the race reunion. He just says, looking back at it, he said, we were two bulls in a china shop there because we were both kind of hard-headed at the time. And so it lasted I worked for him for, I think, up till 78, something like that. It was about 4 or 5 years I'd worked for him.
And you think of that team that you put together, Ed Sanger, Kurt Hansen, Verlin Aker, and Red Drolley. What a group of racing legends all working together building cars.
Yeah, that was a quite amazing deal there. And I don't know, those guys were really, on the top of their game back at that time. And then in the meantime, Ed buys a farm, so I was mostly maintaining all those cars all the time. And I'd maintain them and load them up, and these guys would come and race them, and that's just how it was back then.
In 1976, you began to develop a tube frame car based off some of the ideas of Holman Moody, because you have always been a Ford guy through and through from your very first car that you were street racing.
Ed was always building the cars out of Camaro Snout cars, and I always thought, man, it's got to be a lighter way to do this, so I started building this two-frame car. And in the meantime, Dick Anderson, who owned Carrera Shocks or was with Carrera Shocks at the time, he stopped by to talk to Ed about some shocks. And anyway, he saw my project in the back room. I did it in the back room of Ed's shop. I just told him I wanted to build a two-frame car. And he just says, well, go ahead and do it. So I was building it back there, and Dick saw that, and he said, man, that is a pretty cool thing. So he really got interested in it, and he stayed for a couple, I think two or three days. And even it was working on a Sunday night in the shop, Dick Anderson and I, and we could hear the Tunis race cars in the background, because the Tunis was about a mile from Ed's shop. So we could hear the guys racing up at Tunis, but we were working on the two-frame car. So I never had a Sanger car, even though I worked for them, but it was just one of those things that I decided I wanted to build. And you know, the funny part of it is the cars of today, the late models of today, are still using basically the same design of, you know, that car that I built way back in the 70s.
The other neat thing back then, you could actually purchase NASCAR parts that would work on the dirt tracks, unlike today.
Yeah, that went on for quite a while. You know, I think until probably to the 2000 area, you know, we could get a lot of parts that were passed on down, and they worked pretty well. And then all of a sudden they started changing everything, and all of a sudden none of this stuff is available anymore. They crush it before anybody else gets it anymore.
You mentioned being able to hear Tunis Speedway out the back door of the shop. What a lot of great racing history from that track.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, gosh, that was a staple in for the racetracks around there for a long time, the Cedar Rapids. And you know, within 100 miles of Waterloo, you could race just about four or five nights a week for quite a while there. And Tunis was always on a Sunday night, and it was just a really good little racetrack and fun racetrack, you know, which most of the racetracks in the upper Midwest are pretty good racetracks. They got better dirt, you know.
And also for you, many of our Minnesota drivers invaded Tunis Speedway, like Dave Noble, Mert Williams, Paul Fitzpatrick, and Dave Bjorge. So you got to see some of the Minnesota guys back down there.
Oh, they were. Yeah, they were. They'd come down, and them guys were pretty tough all the time. They were hard to beat. But then Iowa had their racers, too, you know, with the Sanger, Hansen, and Akers, and Stan Stover. And, you know, it just the list goes on. I mean, if you raced in Iowa, it was a pretty tough place to race back then, because there was so many good cars, many good drivers, you know.
Tunis Speedway also had a reputation of getting a little rough, not only on the track, but in the pits. One night when you were driving for Red Drolly, he tried to pour a bucket of water over an official's head in protest to a call that he made against you on the racetrack.
Yeah, I was just driving. I think I had built that car for Red, and Red wanted me to drive it. And I think, I can't remember how the situation was, but Red went out there and he didn't like what the call was. So I'm in the car. I didn't know what was going on. And Red went and dumped a 5-gallon bucket of water on the official. So needless to say, we got kind of thrown out of the racetrack that night. So Red was a character all of his own, I'll tell you that.
You built the late model Camaro for another longtime Iowa late model racer, number 99 Johnny Johnson, in a J&J steel car.
That was kind of a strange deal. I'd worked for Ed, and that's when Ed Sanger and I kind of got into it, and I just said, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to get out of the racing business. And so I was going to start a salvage yard, and somebody along the line had given me a bad reference on it, and I said, oh, man, that was just one of those things that I don't know who or what, but anyway, I had to try and get a dealer's bond, and I got a bad reference from somebody, and they won't give me the dealer's bond. And about that time, Johnny Johnson comes up walking up to me, and he says, hey, he said, I want you to build me a car. And I said, I don't have anything to build a car. And he says, well, I think you can do it. I've seen your work and everything. So I said, okay. So I made a deal with Johnny, and I went to the steel company and bought the steel and made a jig, which I still have to this day. To build cars with. So Johnny was my first customer, and I wasn't planning on building cars, but that's just how it turned out. And I built cars for, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years there. And that's just something I got into, and Johnny was my first customer, and he got to give him credit for helping me along at that point in time.
The late 70s and early 80s, you were a busy man. 1979, the first year of the All-Iowa Points, you were the late model class champion in the state of Iowa. What an accomplishment with all the talent racing at that time.
Things were kind of clicking along pretty good right then, and I don't know how it all came about, but I raced quite a bit all over and was pretty successful at a lot of different racetracks, so kind of gave me a pretty good foothold on everything at that point in time.
And at that point in time, there were a lot of races, big ones, going on all over the area. You towed out to Huron, South Dakota, August 28, 1979, for a 50-lap Challenge Cup late model race. 42 cars showed up for the 8,500 total purse, and you came out on top.
Yeah, that was kind of a memorable night because it was kind of an off night, and I didn't have any help. I had a couple of guys that would go with me every now and then, but they had worked at, I think, at John Deere and several other places. So I had taken my three-year-old son out there, so it was him and I that went to South Dakota. And anyway, he had a friend, one of the friends that were right beside me. His wife was going to watch him because I couldn't send him in the stand at 3 years old. So I ended up winning the race. In the meantime, he got tired and went in the truck, and he locked the doors. So I win the race, and we got to take the car over to get weighed off where the racetrack was. I couldn't get in the truck. Everybody's waiting to get paid, and this little guy ain't going to wake up. So we had to break into the truck. That was my memorable experience to winning the race, you know. But we finally got in there and won the race and got paid and everything like that. Everybody was happy, but it took a while. So that's one of those experiences that you remember certain parts of it, but you don't remember all of it. But just because of that, it was just a unique situation.
You were also at the big ones at Fairmont Raceway, the 1979 All-Star 10,000 with 110 late models and a $12,500 purse. Gary Crawford won, and you finished third, and then you came back July 22nd, 1983, for the first ever NASCAR Grand American race in Minnesota, and you won that one. You really seem to like those big, wide-open, hammer-down tracks.
Yeah, it was always like Fairmont for some reason. That was, you know, just a really good racetrack for me, and there was a lot of speed there. It was such a good racetrack all the time. But getting back to the other one that Gary Crawford had won, I think they had time trials that night, and I had quick change gears went out, broke the quick change gears. So I had to start in the back of the C feature and finish in the top two of that, which I won that one. Then I had to go to the B feature and come from the back of that 24th to get second. And I got second out of it. So I got in the A. So then I had to start 24th in the A and got up to third. So that was a lot of racing, a lot of accomplishment there, you know, to do that. That was a pretty tough grind with all the cars that were there.
That was a hell of a night because there were no slouches in the crowd either.
No, there were a lot of good cars there. My gosh, there were good cars. You know, the Kosciuszkis were there and a lot of the guys from the Omaha area and everything. So a lot of Iowa guys there. And it was just a tough race, but I don't know. I seemed to adapt really well to that racetrack. I always tell a lot of people, if you like a racetrack and you seem like if you like going there and being there at the racetrack, you do better than most. If you don't like to go to some place, you don't do very well. That's always been my opinion of racetracks. And I always seem to like that one, and I like Mason City, and I like Cedar Rapids. Cedar Rapids is a fast racetrack, but it just never had a whole lot of luck there. It always seemed to run really well at Cedar Rapids, but a break or something would happen. So it's just one of those things that sometimes it just didn't work in your favor all the time.
The first ever Go for 50 in 1980 at Chateau Speedway. Leon Plank won, and you finished ninth. Memories of that very first Go for 50 event?
I really don't remember a whole lot about it. I don't know. I think that it's just one of those things that just kind of, I probably didn't do that well, so I just kind of erase it off your mind, you know, and go on.
You raced and built cars through the evolution of the late models. Kurt Hansen said that the first Go for 50 in 1980 was the event when he realized racing was going in a direction that he did not like. Big money engines were taking over the sport, and the costs were going through the roof.
Yeah, that they were. Everybody before that about 1978-79 era, they were all running the big block Chevrolets, which you could run them for, you know, you could run those races, those big blocks for about 40 nights, actually. And you could start off with the bore being 60 thousandths over, and then all of a sudden they went 75 over. After 40 nights, you could bore it to 75 over, and then you'd get quite a few more nights out of it, and you could go to 100 over. I mean, it was just a rebuildable engine. It was a lot cheaper engine. Well, in 80, it come along, and the small blocks come in. And the small blocks were, you know, back then, I mean, it's $8,500, $9,000, $10,000 engines. So things got a lot more pricey. That's probably what he was talking about, because of the small blocks, you know, the higher winding small blocks. And the parts weren't that great at the time. The good, so people were breaking those little motors. And it was a transition period, which it was kind of expensive to race the small blocks. But, you know, if somebody else has it, you have to have it at the same time. So that's just the price of racing, I guess.
Over your career, you raced late models in 19 states and two provinces in Canada and won features in 13 states. You also won some big ones locally. As you said, you like Mason City, and you also raced in Boone and all around the region. Which do you consider to be some of the crown jewel races you won over your career?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. A lot of the Fairmont races and Mason City. I had won some with a wing on. You know, back then they had a lot of different races that you take the roof off, the topless races. Then they had some with wings on. Promoters were always trying to outdo each other at the time. So it was just a matter of what was going on at the time if you were able to do it. But as far as anything sticking out in my mind, the race at Fairmont, the NASCAR race, was pretty good, because that's the last race my dad ever got to go to. He wasn't a big race fan. But that was the last race I can remember him going to. So that was probably a bigger one. And then the Manzanita one was really good out there in Arizona. That was a good race there, too, and that was a good one to win. I remember that one pretty well. But other than that, that's pretty much about it. Oh, and there were some races down at Eldon, Iowa, racing with Mike Neffninger and stuff. And that's a whole other storybook with that guy, because it was him and I were going back and forth, left and right, all the time. So there was some good races down there, some fair races and stuff like that. And so I'd won some races, and he had won a lot of races. But there was some good times down there. Oskaloosa was another one that I'd raced, and that's probably where Ed Zanger and I got into a little trouble there, because I had went down there to Oskaloosa, and Kurt Hansen, I mean, they were all Zanger cars at the time. So it was Kurt and Berlin Akers and Ed. And they all had the big blocks, and I go down there with a small block, and I won the feature that night. And things didn't go real good after that, because one of my crew guys said, "Man, Eddie, what's wrong? Can't keep up with the help." And that really started things off. And so him and I didn't see real good eye to eye after that. And I didn't instigate it, but one of my crew guys did. That stuff happens.
Being inducted into the Iowa Hall of Fame and Racing Museum, Marty's got a very cool deal going there. What did that mean to you personally?
It was one of those things, when they told me I was going to be inducted, things just kind of bypassed me, and I kind of blew it off or whatever. Well, anyway, I got looking at all who's been inducted, and I said, oh, my gosh, they got some heavy hitters here, all these guys from Iowa. Ramo Stott and Ernie Durr and all, you know, goes way, way back. But my gosh, this is quite an honor. And then going up there, too, I said, oh, my, this is something else. I got a little nervous that night even talking, because I was thinking, you know, of all the people that have been here, and to get inducted into something like that was pretty special. You know, being in North Carolina here, I got invited to the Hall of Fame inductee for when Buddy Baker was inducted into the Hall of Fame down here. So I went to the NASCAR party. So anyway, end result is I told Marty Pringle, I said, you guys, I mean, they had done such a good job up in Iowa that the NASCAR people have got nothing over you. I'm going to tell you that right now, because this was a pretty nice deal they had set up there. A lot of the people that did all the work up there did a really, really fantastic job. So that was my opinion of that.
Many fans and former drivers were excited when you showed up last year at the Steve Yagi Race Reunion in Rochester.
Yeah, I was up that way because I still have family up there. In fact, they're all up there. So I just went up there, and it was just worked out at the time that party was going on. So decided I'd go up there and see what that was all about. I heard about it for a couple, 2-3 years, and I went up there. So he's got a really good thing going there, too. That was a pretty nice time, and, you know, and there was so many people that I haven't seen in probably 40 years, you know, and they were there, so it turned out to be a pretty good time.
You are still working and still building things and promoting products, like you invented the Wrench Boss.
Yeah, it was something that I came up with when I ended up coming down to North Carolina here and saw the disarray of a lot of stuff. And anyway, I just came up and built this tray in a toolbox, built it out of a bunch of aluminum. People saw it and they said, man, I'd like to have one. Can you build me one of them? That was a lot of work. So I ended up, had some friends up in Iowa yet that were into the plastic injection molding. So I talked to them about it. So we ended up buying a mold for it and get these things plastic injection. And it worked out really good. So I'm still selling those left and right. And now I'm doing some custom welding for a few people in town here. And other than that, I'm restoring a bunch of cars that I've collected over the years. So I've got a pretty sizable car collection already of cars that I've attained and restored. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm doing right now.
Well, I am so glad we were able to reconnect over the last couple of years after that autograph in the infield over 50 years ago. And I knew this interview was going to be chock full of some great racing history. And thanks for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. I guess you never know where these autographs are going to go, do you?
Extreme powder coating.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coating offers a scientific process that uses electricity and heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme can deliver media blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Custom colors and exhaust coatings are available also. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information.
Foamcraft Packaging is a small family-owned company and has been in business since 1988. Hi, I'm Donna Ayers and I own Foamcraft along with my husband Bob. We specialize in quality, affordable custom foam and wood packaging. Let our professional staff of designers, engineers, and manufacturers create a packaging solution that fits your needs and budget. Located at 400 Alexander Drive in Owatonna, Minnesota. Give us a call at 507-455-2893. Look us up at foamcraftpackaging.com.
Since 1997, Weir's Machine has been innovating the finest products in the racing industry. We also manufacture the Ultra Force Load Machines and develop the Ultra Force Suspension Software, which allows you to take your program to the next level. Be sure to check out the all-new Circle Track app, your ultimate go-to spot for race team information. Keep track of your maintenance schedule, parts list, car setups, and more. Proudly made in the USA, champions across the country choose Weir's Machine, Ultra Force, and the Circle Track app to take them to victory lane. Shop now at weirsmachine.com, ultraforcetech.com, and the all-new circletrackapp.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Weir's Machine.
As you enter the parking lot of Fairmont Raceway, 60 years of racing history awaits. Since 1965, the legends of the USMTS have modified touring series. Sprint cars and late models have thrilled race fans with their speed and driving skills on this region's fastest half mile. Become part of racing history every Friday night this summer at Fairmont Raceway with a restaurant-quality concession stand, and there's not a bad seat in the house in their spacious grandstand. See FMTRaceway.com for more information.
Do you hear a tap, tap, tap of sticky valves and lifters under your hood? Left untouched, this could cause an expensive repair bill. During normal operation of your engine, gums and varnishes form inside, causing the valves and lifters to stick. Add a can of Justice Brothers Engine Tune-Up and totally eliminate sticky valves and lifters now. Justice Brothers Engine Tune-Up's detergent action cleans the inside of the engine while reducing metal-to-metal friction. Why put up with the embarrassing tapping of sticky valves and lifters? Try a can of Justice Brothers Engine Tune-Up today.
Aero Race Wheels is a leading manufacturer of high-quality steel racing wheels for both dirt and asphalt racing. Aero Racing Wheels are built right here in North Iowa. This U.S. company's premium race wheels have been designed to put drivers on the top of the podiums for over 25 years. If you want to run with the winners, see AeroRaceWheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Cole Queensland from Deer Creek Speedway. And Cole, the regular season of racing is kicking off at Deer Creek Speedway. And what classes can fans expect to see every Saturday night at Deer Creek Speedway during regular racing?
This season we'll be running with four weekly classes. They'll all be USRA sanctioned. We got the USRA modified stock cars, hobby stocks, and then we did consolidate the Midwest mods that we ran last year. Everybody will be running under the USRA B-Mod name this year, so we'll be running four weekly classes.
I know the first big event that always stands out to me is the USMTS Southern Minnesota Spring Challenge, and a lot of people look forward to that as a kickoff to racing in 2025.
We look forward to racing starting in April and a little bit into May, but it seems like that is really what kind of kickstarts the season. There's Memorial Weekend when USMTS comes to town. It's kind of the first major special for us and different things at the track. So that really gets the excitement going and really seems to kick the year off. And then USMTS guys really put on a great show every time they come.
June is always a great month at Deer Creek Speedway. June 14th, Pink Out Night. June 28th, you blow up a whole bunch of fireworks before everybody else gets around to it. And then you go straight into the Gopher 50, which is going to be an incredible event this year.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that stretch right there. You know, June's kind of really hits the family time. You know, we get that Pink Out Night. That's a fun event, raising some money for Join the Journey, a local breast cancer awareness group out of Rochester. And then the fireworks night, it's fun to see all the families and kids out there. And it's one of the area's largest fireworks show. If you've never been to it, it's definitely something you got to come out and see. It's a great event. And yeah, the Gopher 50, we're looking forward to that. Last year, you know, we kind of expanded a little bit with some entertainment, and we're kind of taking that another step forward with a little bit of what we learned last year. Is all 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, starting at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, we're going to have a fan zone area where there's going to be live music going, there's going to be games, there's going to be tailgating, everything going on in this area. And it's going to be down in the pit area, but the fans can get to it without the pit passes. So we're looking to really get the excitement, build the weekend, and get everybody out to celebrate America's birthday with us.
July 10th, the World Outlaws are back, but this time it's a World Outlaw Sprint Car Series racing on Thursday night, July 10th.
Yeah, I believe it's been since 2018 that the sprint cars have made an appearance at the track. So that's one we're really looking forward to. You know, we've listened to the fans. They've wanted them the last number of years, and we've been working with the Outlaws, you know, trying to get a date that kind of fit into the schedule a little bit. And it's hard up here with our shortened season to try to find the fit with them guys to get them to come. And we feel that Thursday night following the Gopher is going to be a good time. We're hoping to promote it a little bit and push it during the Gopher and have them guys in there. They are incredibly fast to watch. If you've never seen them, World of Outlaws sprint cars, it's going to be an event you're not going to want to miss. Them cars do go fast.
Again, Deer Creek Speedway is teaming up with the local corn growers for Tasseldega Nights, free races on Saturday night, July 19th. And then everybody talks about August 9th, Veterans Night at the track. What a great way to honor the people who protect our country.
Yeah, that's another fun stretch, kind of like the June one is there, to where it's kind of geared around the families and everything. Again, you know, that free night, who can argue with that? You know, thanks to the local county corn growers associations and the supporting businesses to help put that on, to where the grandstand's admission is 100% covered by them. So it's free. Come on out, enjoy the night. And August 9th, yes, the Veterans Night. That is probably on the calendar my favorite night of the year, just the atmosphere. Everybody's there for a good cause, good reason. We're recognizing all of them, and we raise good money that night for them too. I mean, it's a fun event that really benefits the local DAV chapter here. I think it's chapter 28 out of the Rochester area. So it's a very good event. All the money stays local and is used local here with our veterans.
Friday night, August 29th, and Saturday, August 30th, you bring in Joe Kosiski and the SLMR Late Model Series. And that's going to be two great nights of racing. Late Models back on the track that weekend.
That's going to be an exciting weekend to see. We've had some different regional late model series in, but I think Joe's is going to be a perfect fit. Based down in Iowa and stuff, there's going to be a lot of cars coming. We're looking, you know, somewhere in the mid-30s for car count and stuff, and it's going to be a lot of the guys we know. Some guys from our area are going to be able to run with them, so you're going to see a mix of some guys traveling in, you're going to see some locals, and we can see who can stand up against them guys traveling in. So I think that's going to be a fun event to watch and a new event this year. We're looking forward to continuing.
Andy Altenberg and Altenberg Construction and Deer Creek Speedway continue to grow the Stock Car Nationals. They're going to be Saturday, September 13th, stock cars and hobby stocks in a big way.
That's a fun one. Them fendered cars, they race hard. They lean on each other a little bit. It is exciting. And the car counts have been great for that event, too. Seeing them guys, them stock cars chase $10,000 to win. That is probably overall, you know, the most exciting racing that you'll see. Them fendered cars, the way they'll race side by side. They're one big close pack, and they are fun to watch.
The Fall Jamboree is back to a four-night event, September 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th, and that's going to be a huge end-of-the-year party.
Yeah, we're looking forward. That is back kind of on its traditional weekend. Schedules kind of got conflicted last year, and it moved to Labor Day weekend. It is back now to the last weekend in September, so it'll really give it the Fall Jamboree feel that it missed last year a little bit. And kicking off Wednesday night with practice and three great nights of racing, there again, seeing them USMTS competitors come in and battle it out with our weekly modified drivers. That event's kind of a staple on our schedule. It's a fun one. We see people from all over the country come to it. It's an event that really showcases the best of the best in the modifieds.
Last year you added the Bonfire Bash, and it's Friday night, October 10th, and Saturday the 11th. What a great way to end the season.
That was a fun way to end the year last year. That was a new event, and a lot of feedback from the drivers was it was just kind of a fun way to end. You know, we had a bonfire Friday night. It was a relaxing kind of weekend for them guys. Everybody was just hanging out. There's no points on the line or nothing. It's just good old racing and some bragging rights, and let's end the year off with a good time at the racetrack. And that's what it turned out to be, and we're bringing it back in October this year, and we're looking to end the season that way again. That was a fun event.
Cole, how can they find out more about Deer Creek Speedway or get pre-sale tickets for the Gopher 50?
You can find us online at deercreekspeedway.com. There's a link on there to purchase tickets. And the most up-to-date, you know, race day event info will be found on our social media on Facebook. But for complete event info, you can find us on our website, deercreekspeedway.com.
Cole, thanks for putting another incredible lineup of racing for the fans at Deer Creek Speedway. And thanks for being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
You bet, Clayton. Thanks again for everything you guys do for racing, and look forward to another great year.
Midwest Collision. You bend them, we bend them. Midwest Collision.
Dedication to excellence. That's what sets Midwest Collision of Faribault apart from other collision repair shops. Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will spend as much time as it takes on your vehicle to guarantee it leaves the shop looking and operating as good as new. Contact Midwest Collision today at 507-332-2434.
Midwest Collision. You bend them, we bend them.
Race fans, if you're headed to Knoxville Raceway this season for the sprint car races, make sure to visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. This year's special exhibit will be our track tribute to Manzanita Speedway and the rich history of the Western World Sprint Car Championship races. We'll be featuring 8 of the iconic race cars that raced at Manzanita, in addition to the 20-plus race cars being featured inside the museum this summer. And remember that on race days, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 8 a.m. until the final checkered flag falls here at Knoxville Raceway. So be sure to schedule some time to visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and see the only museum in the world that is solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Batwing Chassis began like many other famous racing entities with a simple premise: good friends and fast cars. It started with a group of friends racing their custom-built mini race cars on a homemade dirt track in southern Minnesota. The Min Mods were generating interest as a fun entry-level race car that was affordable. In 2010, Nathan Kilwine founded Batwing Chassis. Today, Batwing Chassis continues to build custom Outlaw Mini Mods as the Black Iron MFG Outlaw Mini Mod series adds more drivers and fans every season. Batwing Chassis. Fast, affordable, fun. See batwingchassis.com.
You don't have to choose between comfort and capability when you're behind the wheel of a 2025 Honda Pioneer 700-4. Rugged and reliable, it delivers the power you need on the job, the smooth shifting you want on the trail. And with Honda's exclusive quick flip seating, you get the versatility of seating 4 passengers or stowing the back seats for a full cargo bed. See the latest Honda Pioneer 700-4 today at Trimble Cycle Center in Austin. For your safety, read the owner's manual, wear a helmet, eye protection, close side nets and doors, and always wear seatbelts. Honda side-by-side is up for riders 16 and older. Trimble Cycle Center in Austin, USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
Racers Cole and Kyron Anderson want to provide outstanding products for their customers at Anderson Enterprises. With their new 10-color screen printer, your t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, and vests will stand out from the rest. Anderson Enterprises also provides embroidery on sweatshirts, jackets, beanies, baseball caps, blankets, and more. Mention this Dirt Show ad and receive 10% off your next order. Contact Anderson Enterprises in La Center at 507-351-9244 or andersonenterprises.net. Set yourself apart from the rest.
As you stop the throttle to the floor, you want quick response and a burst of power. Hi, this is Corey from Byers Engine Service. This is 1975. Our staff here at Byers Engine Service has been supplying hot rodders, drag racers, and circle track cars with the power and dependability they need at an affordable price. When you consider your next engine build, consider Byers. BESPerformance.com. No gimmicks, just horsepower.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by the brand new promoter at Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa, Kevin Long. And Kevin, it was great to meet you at the Kossuth County Speedway Banquet back in February, and you've been working hard over the winter to get ready for your very first season.
Yeah, we've been getting after it, I guess. Got a few things we're changing down here and hoping to make improvements for the better.
The first race of the season kicks off Thursday, May 1st. What classes can fans expect to see?
On a regular night of racing, we're going to have the IMCA Modifieds, the IMCA Stock Cars, the IMCA Sport Mods, and the IMCA Hobby Stocks, along with our American-made late models class. We will also have the Cruiser class and the IMCA Sport Compacts.
Then May 22nd, it's Fan Appreciation Night. May 29th, it's a Sport Mod Special. And June 5th, it's Bex Hybrids, Stock Cars, and Fendered Cars on Kossuth County Speedway are a great class to watch.
The Stock Car class and the Bex Hybrid Speed Show comes in. That'll be a really good show for us. We'll have some of the best drivers in the area here for that. We're anticipating. And on the Sport Mod Special that we have on May 29th, that's also going to be Scott Cook, former racer there we had in the Hobby Stock division back when the track was opening up in the 80s. And then he ended up in the Sport Mod division before he passed, and we're calling that the Scott Cook One Eye Nationals Memorial Race that night. And on the 22nd, Fan Appreciation Night, we got a lot of cool things planned. We just had a meeting about that on Sunday, and we got a lot of stuff planned for the fans. We're going to kind of pay homage to the drivers and the crews that night as well from the 1986 season when we reopened the track. And we're going to do a bunch of giveaways and everything on the 22nd at the Fan Appreciation Night. And yes, you're right, the stock cars, the hobbies, and the modifieds and all that, they're going to put on a real good show for us.
Every day I jump in my car, I've got the rear sail panel off Scott Cook's car hanging in my garage, and it says on the back, number one eye, and then you just got passed by a piece of crap, Steve Crap, when he was the engine builder. He had that on the back of every car he sponsored.
Yep, he sure did. That was pretty cool. That was back in the days coming through, getting up to where we are today, and it took all that to make it happen.
Something I spotted immediately on the schedule, June 12th, IMCA Race Saver Sprint Cars invade Kossuth County Speedway. You have $800 to win and $175 to start the feature.
Pretty much every night on the schedule is something that we've ran in years gone by, and we're just doing a continuation of it pretty much. But the IMCA Race Savers is something that I was looking into after I got told I was going to be promoting it this year and running it. And it'll be the first time for the IMCA Race Saver 305s to invade Kossuth County Speedway. And I sat one day on the phone trying to get a hold of as many drivers as I could through everything. And right now we're shaped up. We should have a strong 25, and there's still more that are sounding like they're coming. So we should have a real nice field of sprint cars that night. We got the defending national sprint car champion. He's going to be here that night. We got quite a few of them out of the South Dakota, Sioux Falls area. Got some from Des Moines, Iowa area, southwestern Iowa. So we're getting quite a few. We got some coming out of Minnesota as well. It's going to be a really good show. I'm really excited about it. The fans are seeming to get behind it right now.
July 3rd, American Late Model Special. And Marty Pringle and Dick Griffith have done a great job putting that class together and getting it going at your track.
Yeah, that class gained a lot of momentum at the end of last year, and we see nothing stopping it from just pick it up and going again. And the American Late Models will be running their special July 4th weekend, which is kind of fitting, celebrating America's birthday. We're going to run the American Late Models. And they put on some really good features as the year went on last year, and everybody got used to them. And I'm looking for a lot of the same this year from them. It's going to be a big race in July 4th. On the 17th, it's the Jess Weishauer Memorial. We're also going to do Christmas in July that night with Santa Claus and the Grinch there. We're going to have handouts for the kids, treat bags or whatever. We're also going to do a kid's backpack giveaway. And one of our Sport Mod drivers, Alec Fett, his wife, Brooke, puts together a backpack giveaway. So we're going to do that for the kids that night. And that's part of our Hobby Stock special for the year. So that'll be an awesome night of racing on July 17th.
Fans that want to attend a race, that when they walk out of the place, feel like they've been rejuvenated in the American spirit would be the Veterans Race on July 24th.
The Veterans Race, we're the second stop on the three-night tour, as we have been the last few years. Probably one of the most talked about mini-series from the IMCA divisions that you're going to get in the area. Everybody talks about it. Everybody's heard about it. It's just an outstanding show, and it's not so much about the drivers that are participating. They'll tell you it's more about who they're representing, who they're honoring. It's veterans that have made it so we can all do what we do today and enjoy life the way we do. It's truly a special night, and if you haven't been to one of the veteran shows, be sure to check them out because there's just nothing like it anywhere.
This year, the Harkin and Hovengay Memorial have been combined on July 31st for one big fair race.
Yep, that's the night we should have the six-foot-tall trophies in there. Gary Harkin, a longtime track employee, and Denny Hovengay, if you're a race fan from the Midwest, you've heard of him. One race is everywhere. It's their night. We're going to remember them and put on some good fair races for our fans. It's one of the bigger nights of racing we have this year. Always is a fun time at the Kossuth County Fair, and this year should be no different.
August, you have three great shows on the schedule. August 7th, IMCA Speed Week, Schottschneider Memorial. August 14th, Driver Appreciation Night. And August 21st, the Jake Long Memorial and the Season Championship. And I always tell fans, get out to the races and get out early because August is going to be here before you know it.
Yeah, you look at the calendar, it ain't that far off. But we're excited for the Schottschneider Memorial there to kick off August 4th. It's part of the IMCA Speed Weeks up here. Spencer's going to run on Tuesday night at the Clay County Fair Speedway. Then it's Wednesday night, it's going to be down at the Buena Vista Raceway in Alta. Thursday night, they're going to come to us in Algona for the IMCA Speed Week Schottschneider Memorial. And then on Friday and Saturday, it's off to the Hancock County Speedway for the Night of 1,000 Stars weekend over there. So yeah, there's some good racing that part of that. And Gene Schottschneider, I mean, he's a legend among racers in the area and race fans. He's done a lot for the sport, and we're going to remember him big that night. Driver Appreciation Night, the 14th. We haven't started really working on our attack for that yet, but we're going to do something good for the drivers to say thank you for supporting us through the years and hopefully into the future. And it's just going to be a night about the drivers. And on the 21st, we're going to wrap it up with the Jake Long Memorial Race. And Jake was my sister that worked at the track. She's worked at quite a few of them the last few years, and she passed away last September. So we're going to do a season championship memorial race in her honor and kind of put the track to bed for the year and hopefully be able to start work on the grandstand project after that, we hope.
Kevin, if they'd like to find out more about Kossuth County Speedway and your awesome racing schedule for 2025, what's the best ways to do that?
There's a couple ways of doing it. You can give myself a call at 712-298-1288, and I can answer questions or talk to people. Another way is on Facebook, go to Kossuth County Speedway. I'm trying to post as much stuff as I can to get things rolling. We do have a TikTok site that I just got started. I'm learning how to do the ticking and talking thing. I'm not real good at it yet, but we're trying. So we got that, and just hope to see everybody there.
Kevin, thanks for jumping on board and keep racing going at Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, and can't wait to see you out at the racetrack.
Well, we'll be there Thursday night at the Thunderdome. We'll see everybody there and hope to have a good summer with it. So thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you later.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just watching Shevlin Enterprises picking up our trash.
That was a great decision to switch to Shevlin Enterprises.
Yes, it was. Great price, great service, locally owned and operated. And remember that spring garage clean out?
Yeah, two full dumpsters, and they took care of it all.
I wish every decision was as easy as Shevlin Enterprises.
Amen to that.
Contact Shevlin Enterprises today at 507-214-8727.
Partnering with hog and cattle producers throughout the United States, Altenburg Construction has over 30 years of experience in the slat replacement business. Altenburg Construction uses a custom wash bay to ensure biosecurity for your herd. Whether you need an entire site or a single slat, stop into one of their three locations in Louisville, Minnesota, and Ziering in Washington, Iowa, and ask about their five-day guarantee, or call 888-435-2210 or see altenburgconstruction.com.
Bulldog Coatings, let Bulldog protect and restore your floors. Transform your old garage floor with a local family-owned Bulldog Pros. Beautiful coatings, longevity, trust the experts, we make it so easy. Affordable solutions, you can't go wrong. See BulldogCoatingsMN.com. Bulldog
and restore your cars.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of BP's high-performance products online at bpracingfuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
When you need a trailer, you want selection, service, and someone who will be there after the sale. Zach's Sales and Service in Sherburn is this region's leader in quality trailers from H&H, Aluma, Mission, and Easy Hauler. Whether you need a utility, enclosed, dump, flatbed, or tilt trailer, Zach's Sales and Service has over 300 trailers on the ground and ready for delivery today. Contact Zach's Sales and Service today at 507-764-2299 or see zachstrailersales.com, where service is right in their name.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by my friend Marty Pringle. And Marty, the dream has finally come true, the Iowa Hall of Fame and Museum. And I tell you what, from the time you mentioned that this was something that you wanted to put together to the time we had the grand opening on April 5th, a lot of work, a lot of people were involved behind the scenes to get this accomplished.
Yeah, it's been a long road. A lot of years collecting all this stuff, and I just want to thank the people in Algona and the community and everybody that made it possible. Yeah, there is some really interesting history in there.
Once the Kossuth County Fair Board got involved with this project, it really started to spearhead. And the cool thing is, when we were in Algona on April 5th, we filled up with gas, we stopped at a local donut shop, had some donuts there, bought some more to take home, went to the museum, enjoyed the heck out of that, made a donation, and then we went to a local restaurant and ate on our way out of town. I think Algona is going to see a lot of people doing that and coming into town, new faces, spending time in their businesses, which is going to be great for Algona and great for the Kossuth County Ag and Motorsports Museum and the Iowa Hall of Fame and Museum.
Yeah, it will be. One of the neat things I think about it, it's at a racetrack, so, you know, that's a big thing to me, and I just can't thank everybody that got on board here, and I hope the racing community and drivers and fans and everybody gets behind it. Gosh, there's Minnesota cars in there, there's Willie Craft car in there. I mean, we're talking not only Iowa, the Midwest. I'll take most any history and put it in there, so hopefully we get the racing people behind it and come and visit.
Opening weekend, you had over 300 people come through to see the display. And I tell you what, every time I'm in there, it just gives me goosebumps to be able to stand next to those historic race cars, see those driver's suits, see those old helmets, and see all that history all in one place. You've done an amazing job collecting all this memorabilia and preserving it from not ending up in the landfill where no one will ever get to see it.
Been a lifelong dream of mine. Gosh, I've restored a lot of old race cars, and we had a guy come in Sunday that used to own a car that Craig Jacobs drove, a late model, and gosh, we talked for about 2.5 hours. You learn a lot from people that come in, too, you know. For right now, we're weekends and an appointment. You can call for appointment till we figure out a schedule. But the neat thing, Clayne, is we're dealing with Knoxville Museum, Speedway Motors, and several other museums, so our inventory will be rotating all the time, so that's another neat part about it.
Constantly changing and a great place to come and visit. Marty, thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show, and I highly recommend everybody tuning in to make sure to get to the Iowa Hall of Fame and Museum in Algona, Iowa this summer, or head down there during the Kossuth County Fair, see the races, and see the museum. Thanks for being with us, Marty.
All right, thank you, Clay.
Kevco drive shafts are 100% American-made in the USA with USA-sourced materials, using precision machine yokes offering more clearance and higher strength than any shaft on the market. All drive shafts are meticulously hand-built and balanced on our new Superior Driveline Shaftmaster machine. Kevco drive shafts has the ability to build carbon fiber drive shafts loaded with Spicer 1310 solid body non-greasable U-joints for superior strength. Kevco also offers U-joints, U-bolts, slip yokes, and anything you need for your drive shaft. Call them today, 800-770-3557 or online at kevcoracing.com.
Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, call 455-3524.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.